like to talk to you now about how to audit an entity or a theta line. The exploration of the theta lines has been underway for a very long time. It has been underway certainly thousands of years, and with myself has been underway now, oh, better than 15 years intensively. This machine, the electropsychometer, has been acting as a pilot since about the 1st of January 1952. Very early, I wanted a pilot. I had to have some method of metering preclears, which was not dependent at all upon opinion or judgment. And I went out and looked at the existing lie detector equipment, and I could not find anything which would do a job of work. Now, Volney Matheson out on the coast heard a talk out there one day, and I mentioned this fact. RCA had told me, Bell Labs had told me, numerous engineers had told me, that by the time you took a current and built it up stage by stage through battery set and battery set and battery set, you'd have to put somebody in a wire cage. A lot of people ought to be there in the opinion of engineers anyway. And you put somebody in a wire cage, a copper screening, so as to cut down the interference. And one of them suggested that you hooked the needles into his brain tissue. I looked at him quickly to see if he was joking. He wasn't. And this way you possibly might be able to get a read which would still have variation and fluctuation ad infinitum. I had one of the fanciest electroencephalographs made, and it didn't do anything very much. Police detectors didn't do anything very much. And Matheson went to work, and he floated a current within a current. This machine is relatively simple, but it's a current floating inside another current, and actually gets from a tenth to a 50 millionth, a tenth of a millionth to a 50th of a millionth ampere, something like that, per current. I haven't the technical data on this machine at my fingertips. But what it actually does is throw a current of electricity through the body, and this will hit the various centers which connect up with the memory and so on. And what happens is a facsimile moves in or out as the memory or the beingness of the person is re-stimulated, and so this little tiny trickle of electricity is shut off or let go, and so you get your difference of responses on this machine. And it's very simple in its operation, but it is considerably different, and I am, by the way, very much indebted to Matheson just on this basis of all of a sudden having a pilot. Well, as soon as this pilot was available, I tried to work with it, but during a present lifetime, even then, its responses, if you just take one lifetime, are not very terribly marked. Grandfather's death will fall a couple of degrees, a couple of missions. Don't get me wrong, you can find out a great many things about this lifetime, such as you can find out whether or not somebody is loyal or disloyal or something of the sort. Yeah, it's very valuable for this lifetime, but I'm talking about auditing now. Well, when you look over the last trillion years, the incidents you're looking for are incidents which drop this machine a dial, a half a dial, five dials, 10 dials. In other words, this machine really acts up. And the incidents which we are trying to audit and the reactions which we are trying to get and find, locate, and pin down are traceable very easily on this instrument. I know I can be accused of putting in plugs for this electropsychometer, but actually they're not plugs. It isn't possible to look back through the past as an uncleared individual without this machine. You get somebody up into a state of theta clear, why, he can take a look and read somebody else's mind very, very readily and very rapidly. Probably much more accurately than this machine can. But how do we get anybody up to the state of theta clear? Well, we've got a pilot. Now, this pilot went in ahead of the research line. And so the auditing procedures which have been developed right along the same line as the research line. They follow as a parallel line. What we have actually is a series of incidents and reactions which are easily traceable on a psychometer. And the psychometer also lends reality to the preclear, and additionally lends a great deal of certainty to the auditor. Because the auditor can be auditing any one of at least seven entities. And this is where the psychometer comes in very handy. He starts auditing one entity, and the machine is operating. Now, he audits the preclear with the electrodes in the preclear's hands. And it doesn't matter too much under this type we're doing now whether the preclear looks at this needle or not. You hit the incidence, there are the incidence, and that needle will fly. He can't stop it. And so he watches the needle as he's auditing along and so on, and he knows whether or not his preclear is doing anything. Now, your preclear, for instance, may go into a boil-off. Is he in a boil-off or is he asleep? Now, that's a question. You've sat alongside of a preclear sometimes for hours while he was, quote, boiling off. Only he wasn't. He was asleep. What's the difference between a boil-off and a sleep? He keeps moving through the incident in a boil-off, and you get characteristic needle fluctuations that shows that he's hitting holders and bouncers and everything. He's going through this incident, and the needle fluctuates up and surges down and goes back and forth, and maybe it does it more slowly when he's so dopey. But all of a sudden, you start to get a little gradual tone rise, and the machine quiets down. And you go down to the foot of the bed and give him a good sound kick on the soles of his feet. The machine will do a jump. You come back and sit down in the chair and say, all right, now let's start in at the beginning of it again. Pick it up now at the beginning and blow through it again. You watch that needle, and the needle will flick and move, and it will show you he's moving on the track and he's going through the incident and everything's fine, and then all of a sudden it'll bog again, shake him out. In such a wise, you can get auditing done. But about 80% of your boil-off, so-called, is actually sleep. And the sleep doesn't do anybody any good. But the boil-off, with the incident in motion, definitely does. So that's the first thing this machine does for you, save all the time you've been sitting alongside of the preclear watching a, quote, boil-off, unquote. Now, the next thing that it does is tells you if you've slipped off an entity and into another entity. If you've slipped off one theta line and into the other theta line. That's the next thing it tells you. The reason this happens is very simple. You're just getting fine needle reaction. You're getting surges down that shows you're hitting things and that you're really auditing, and this entity, this theta line that you're addressing is just clearing up just dandy. And all of a sudden, the machine says, The fellow says, well, and so on, so on, so on, so on. Well, now let's go through it again. Oh, I am. So on, so on, so on, so on. The machine just sitting there. Moving a little, drifting, that's all. What happened was, is you slid off the entity that you were auditing, and you went in over on another entity. His beingness became somebody else at that moment, and when his beingness became somebody else, what you're trying to clear up on the case isn't clearing up. And in such a wise, you can audit an engram half out of a theta line, and then go over to another theta line and audit the engram half out of it, and then jump into a completely disrelated theta line and a completely disrelated incident and go auditing merrily on that. And what have you accomplished? You've accomplished a complete confusion on the part of two or three theta lines, and you haven't cleaned up any one of them. And so you will do this just so long, and you'll get a perceptive shutoff on your preclear. This prevents it from happening. Why? You see how the entity is operating that you're auditing. You see how the machine is moving and how the entity is going through the incident, and you see that this incident is getting about a 10-point drop. He goes over certain points of it. It's a 10-point drop, and it's an 8-point drop, and it's a 15-point drop, and it's a 10-point drop, and all of a sudden, you're only getting a half-point drop, and a half-point drop, and a half-point drop. Well, he might have hit a sticker. He might have hit a holder in that entity, but the chances are he didn't. So you say, well, let's roll through that again, and then if you keep getting your drops characteristic, you're still on that entity. But supposing you just all of a sudden just suddenly start to get a little surge up and it sort of idles around and so forth, well, instead of auditing the right outboard theta line, you're suddenly auditing the left side. Yeah, the machine characteristic will shift very markedly. Therefore, the pre-clear can't lie to you. And he can't sit there and audit something else. And very often, any pre-clear has an entity sufficiently neurotic to start lying to the auditor. He says, oh, yes, I'm running it. Yeah, I'm going right through it. I'm just doing a fine job of it. Yes. What he's actually doing is scanning out yesterday. He'll lie there on the couch and scan out yesterday. And he'll scan out something else. And what he's doing is just one of his theta lines is just holding you off. And the other one is running through inconsequentials. And you can just spend hours and hours and hours doing this. The next thing it does for you, it tells you what kind of an incident am I auditing. If you are auditing a facsimile, you're getting smooth sweeps. Smooth sweeps. Back and forth. Up and down. Drifts down, goes back again. That's a facsimile. That is a memory you are auditing. You're auditing the thought, emotion, and effort out of the memory. If you're auditing a between lives incident, and that's very important to audit, this machine hunts. It comes down 10 points and goes flick, 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 the needle does, and then goes up maybe 3 points, flick, 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 then down 5, flick, 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 and then way up, flick, 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 down, flick, 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 hunt, hunt. And if it's doing it on a small level of, let us say, about 5 points on this scale, or a small arc on the scale, that hunt, hunt, hunt is the between lives of the last 3,000 years. And if it's doing it on a wider scale and is still hunting ferociously, it's a between lives of an earlier period. And if it's swinging about 15 are these points of arc and clicking at the end and going over and click, over and click, and click, click in the middle and click, and then click again. You're auditing before universe. 15 degrees of arc, about. So you can tell immediately what he's in, and you can also tell what part of his body is in it, because you ask him, is this your right side? Is this your all the way out right side? Is that what's running? The machine is absolutely still. No, it isn't. You say, all right, which side is this? Is this the center if it's doing this? Machine drops. Yeah, all right, it's the center. Well, let's shift over to the right side and audit the rest of that engram on. Immediately, your machine starts acting again. This is in the interest of cleaning up a case sometime between now and judgment day. You understand that many entities will get the sudden idea that they are about to be handed their discharge papers and cut loose and sent hitherto and forevermore. And they will suddenly start saying, let's see, this is Dianetics, huh? Well, let's see. Now, this guy is pretty easy to fool. And so they start to work on him. That's a fact. And by the way, that may be the history of a great number of pre-clears who have an awful lot of auditing and who don't seem to get well. You've got an entity in there that says, no, 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 no. And the rest of the pre-clears saying, oh, yes, yes, sure, sure, mm-hmm. But this entity saying, no, 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 mm-mm. Not on a bet. And so every time the pre-clear starts into something, the entity will knock him to sleep. And you get what is known as a very phony boil-off. The entity just puts him to sleep, that's all. It objects. And it hits the sleep centers. And out he goes. Swish. Well, this machine will detect it. And this will tell you why a pre-clear is balking. You can go over a pre-clear anatomically, theta-wise, and you can say, now, are any of your theta lines walking auditing. And the machine doesn't say anything. It just sits there quietly and doesn't do anything at all. It just wobbles a little bit. You say, all right, is your right, all the way out right side doing it? Mm-hmm. No, no action. Is it the inboard right side? No action. Is it the center? No action. Is it the inboard left side? There. Zing. Is the inboard right side, inboard left side stuck in an incident? Zing. What is the date of this incident? Oh, and the fellow says, oh, it says 1670. No reaction on the needle. You say, is it some other date? Ask that portion, that entity. Is it some other date? And it says, all of a sudden he says, well, I get about 1,000. Machine just quivers a little bit. You say, 1,000 B.C.? Just quivers a little bit. 1,000 A.D.? Zing! You've got the thing spotted. Now you know what you're auditing. Very rapidly, there's a fatal line which is stuck on the track, and it's going to be stuck on the track, and it's going to keep every other fatal line there from operating until it's released and brought up into present time. And so you just take the blocks off the case, one right after the other, until you've got all the case up in present time. And by the way, a lot of these, when they get up to present time, say, what the devil am I doing here? And leave, just like that. Well, I've gotten out of that one. So, you can keep check on the thing. Well, we've never had any way to keep check on. As a matter of fact, our auditing techniques were being addressed on the theory of whole beingness. The people that you cleared up were cleared up in two ways. One, you were auditing the central, and somehow or other got it on by getting back early in a person's life, a childhood. That's why childhood is important, is because it'll flick on the center sometimes. If you can get the childhood bank, you've got the center on, because it's holding the childhood bank. That's this address. It isn't childhood memories. It's what time of life was the center in evidence. So you get the center on, and the person right away brightens up. Very simple. Now, the other thing we were doing was somehow or other exercising. E-X-C-O-R. We were. High in tone, your auditor would simply scare some of these fatal lines either into apathy or out. Now you take a fatal line which is holding a case of arthritis in very solid arthritis. This fatal line has the right side beautifully paralyzed as far as holding is concerned, and the calcium deposits are gathering apace. And you as an auditor drive the right side down in tone and bring the central preclear up in tone to a point where you've unbalanced it, and the right side goes into apathy. The second it goes into apathy, of course, it releases, and you get a disappearance of arthritis. Or you've done that, that is a mild exorcism. That's just nullification exorcism. And some of you have merely looked a demon in the eye and said, and he's gone. And you audited the fellow only a half an hour, and all of a sudden he was well. Wasn't that interesting? There he is. He's well. The cases which we've had trouble with are the cases that are playing a game with us. And the poor case doesn't know it's playing a game with us. But there are two or three entities present, and they'll cross over, and you'll start audit one, and you'll find yourself auditing another one, and then you'll be auditing another one. And about the time that you're really getting in there someplace, all of a sudden you're auditing another one. And the result is that some of these have the I can't know, I won't know, and I won't tell. Some of these entities have these in such strong re-simulation that a person has this strange idea that he could tell if he could tell. But he can't tell because every time he starts to tell, he sort of forgets. Or every time he starts to come up with any part of an incident, it all of a sudden blanks out on him. Or he tries to get the perceptic that matches the incident, and somehow or other something just moves in across it. Well, this is just entanglements of these fatal lines. They're just cagey. Now, an unknown datum can produce too much randomity. Too much. And that is the case here. Not one of these fatal lines was actively aware that a personality existed except itself. They were not aware, one fatal line to the next, that there were other personalities or fatal lines present. And you simply start identifying them, one after the other, to each other, and they come way up in tone. one after the other, because they know what's going on. They know that somebody else was there, and somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else. And the preacher gets much cleverer. Well, you might leave a couple of them that were the bad psychos in him. You might leave these way stuck on the track, and therefore he has somatics and so forth. But the usual thing is that he just becomes a lot more cheerful. This point alone, in other words, produces a marked advance in the case, the identification of the fatal lines one to the other. The best way to identify them, of course, is show them to him. And he'll start thinking about the thing and so on, and he'll all of a sudden recognize this man. These fatal lines can be neurotic enough to hold on a somatic and to throw the somatic on violently every time the preclear starts to get rid of an incident. He starts to get rid of an incident. This line says he's starting to get rid of his soul, and that's me. We will show him. Crunch. And picks up pain out of its own memory bank and turns it on. Just like you might spank a small child that was causing you trouble. You want to administer pain. So this fatal line will think pain, pain, and turn on a somatic. And here you get a chronic somatic that just rides there and rides there, and you run this in the case, and you run that in the case, and you run something else in the case, and somehow or other this chronic somatic just won't go away. Well, that's because every time you start to get in close to this fatal line, it cages, gets very cagey, and turns on this somatic, but it's not going to be located. Now, it's your job on a chronic somatic to locate what being it is that's turning it on, what fatal line it is that's turning it on, which is to say, and getting that thing unstuck out of the incident so it's rational enough to find out whether or not somebody else is present and find out what it's doing. You'll find out in each case that it is stuck somewhere on the track in something very violent. And it's rather easy to audit out. And at that time, the chronic somatic will cease. Now, this is really pinpointing your case. Here somebody comes in to you and they have a chronic somatic. Well, you have three choices. You throw the entity that is giving this person this pain or illness into apathy. That's the worst choice. The optimum choice is to be so clear yourself that you just simply move through and in this entity and it goes, pew, and it's gone. You say, well, all right, that's $25, please. And the preacher walks out the door. And the technique which is available to you and most useful to you now is simply identify things, preferably on an electropsychometer, identify which entity it is and what it's stuck in, and then just audit it through what it's stuck in, regardless of how silly or how strange it seems, whatever the incident is, audit it through, and get this entity at least out of that somatic, if not into present time, and your chronic somatic will go away. That means that a psychosomatic illness can be treated selectively by an auditor. Very selectively. You take glasses. Now, there's the facsimile field of auditing. Memories have pain in them. You audit out the facsimiles which have the pain, and the pain or disability goes away. That's techniques as we have known them. How about, you see, you have to know the same techniques in order to work one of these entities. All right, let's take glasses. In the facsimile level, glasses mean that one of these entities, at least, is over into a monitor valence of some sort or another, probably in facsimile one. You'll find some part of this preclear is in facsimile one, and it's being a monitor valence, and the glasses are what the monitors wear in facsimile one. And a person is safe as long as he wears glasses, and if he takes his glasses off, he's not safe anymore. But what about this? We've known for a long time that if you could get a person's tone up, the somatics dropped out. There's billions and billions and trillions and quadrillions of facsimiles. Painful ones, severely painful ones. Well, you can't audit all these. Well, how do you get a preclear's tone up? Well, auditing a theta line or auditing a theta incident advances tone very rapidly and tends to stabilize it until you go to the next entity, and then you'll find the tone will drop a little bit, but not as far as it was before. And then you audit that tone up, and you'll find out he comes up. It is nothing in 2 hours to 4 hours, and certainly in 10 hours, to take people off the top of this machine by auditing theta line incidents. You can't do that by auditing facsimiles. You've got to audit an awful lot of facsimiles before you get tone up to that degree. So what happens? Let's take facsimile one now. It's important to know that facsimile one is there because so many people are stuck in it. Too many people go over in the monitor valence of it. Too many people are in the victim valence of it and holding forth regardless. Do you have to audit this thing? Not if you find out which entity is holding on to it. And then not if you find a theta incident, that is to say some incident a little bit earlier like a joiner that makes this entity hold on to incidents and facsimiles. There's just this one entity now. You're asking, why do you hold on to facsimiles? And all of a sudden you find that there's a reason, and you audit the line through that reason and blow facsimile one. Cute. Very tricky. Now you can audit facsimile one out from beginning to end over and over again, and you can make sure that you audit out of any being that had it in its bank. There's at least 7 banks you will find facsimile one in. That's why it's so deadly. I amend that. There are at least 5 banks, or 4 banks. There are a couple of additives afterwards. Facsimile one took place about 1 million to 1,250,000 years ago. So, we have much more recent material that has been poured in, and much more recent matters of interest to us. When it comes to auditing a theta line, you are playing tag with a will-o'-the-wisp, because one of these, if you can't see them yet, one of these theta lines can be very, very cagey. And they can cross over and cross you up and so on. Most rapid job you can do there, therefore, is a machine job. And you just start hitting them one after the other, and until you have all of these entities up in present time, and particularly until you have the center one up in present time, and this is the one you take in preference to any other. Now, therefore, auditing procedure, as I would recommend it at this time, which is subject to change, auditing procedure would be simply this. You clean up theta lines only to the point where you can handily and easily reach the center. And then you clean up its line as far back as is necessary to keep it from holding on to other entities. And then you'll find your pre-clear is in much better state, therefore you should just go back and clean up then this central being up to a point where he's a theta clear, and that would be a procedure. There may be a faster way of blowing a theta line. That's why I say it's subject to change, because there may be this faster way of blowing a theta line. I don't know of one at this time. Beyond complete rehabilitation of the center. And sometimes you can't just say to the center, all right, be 100%. And sometimes, by the way, you can, though. You can suddenly say, you locate the center for the fellow, and you show him on the machine, yeah, that's the center. Well, is that me? Or is that how I feel? Oh, gee, yeah. Well, now, just get that in communication with every part of your body. Now, get in communication with all of the meshed universe. Boom. Terrific change takes place. But, unfortunately, this can't be done all the time. So the other procedure is to clean up the lines which are keeping it from happening, and then just to the point where you can clean it up, and so you get the person up the line on that. Now, theoretically, all the other beings ought to blow immediately that this thing decides, this center being you, which is really you, by the way, will decide. Now, your pre-clears can give you a bad argument every once in a while. They give you a very bad argument. They will say to you, well, I can't audit that, because if I audited that, they will have the idea that if I audited that, something horrible would happen to me. Well, you're not talking to the pre-clear. You're talking to the facade in front of the facade of the pre-clear. In other words, you're talking to a couple of theta lines deep before you're reaching the central being. It's an amazing thing, but I'm sure that you've had this happen if you were working around sanitarium people or something like that, or working on some very, very, very neurotic people. You would find them a being which was not their central being, but which was saying it was their central being. Or was it food? So you'd be busily getting them over into the hands of some lesser line, which was psychotic as could be. And you want to avoid that if possible. It's not terribly important, but you want to avoid it because your central being is not going to blow out. This just makes the case a little bit longer. Now, I would recommend, before you did any of this auditing, that you get a release from the preclear and his heirs and assigns, because you don't want any old bodies lying around. The police,
face jerk.
And that applies to stiffs. Now, you actually could become theoretically this expert that when you find a body has suddenly been vacated, the fellow says, well, goodbye. You look at this body lying there and you say, is anybody else here? You don't get any response on the machine. It starts turning kind of blue. You listen to the heartbeat and it's slowing way down. And what happened was even the messed body, the genetic line, body, soul, blue. And, well, shoot them with some adrenaline or something like that and pick up an idle spirit. There'll be a lot of those around, and shove them into the body real quick and say, hey, here's the body, quick. And stuff them in right quick and get the person animated again. I just give you that. I don't delay too long on it, because in hot weather, you know how it is. Of course, there are many people here, as I say those words, that think I'm serious. Well, I am. Let's take another very, very short break, and let me give you the rest of this, if you want me to.
You sure it's in good shape?
Yeah.
You're not so sure, are you?
Can't get any more.
What if it is your body in prison or something?
Uh-oh,
somebody doing something bad to it? Somebody liable to do something bad to it?
No, you don't want this demonstration.
Wonder what's on the other side of the dark side?
What time, man?
That's right, I don't remember. But that was one of the things we did. I thought that was going to do it. And it was back.
Well, now I'm going to tell you something about what can be done with a theta line. You understand, I'm only talking about what can be done with a theta line. What can be done with a theta body? The first answer to this is, what can be done with a human being? But anything that can be done mechanically with a human mind can be done to the theta mind, to a theta being. Except these strange complexities of cross theta lines. That is to say, one theta line being cleared and another theta line coming across and stopping it from being cleared. All right. Let me tell you some of the things that can be done to a human being, and understand that I'm still talking about theta bodies, because there's not any difference except the human being and his mind as he exists today, Homo sapiens, is just more of them. You can hypnotize a human being or drug a human being and move him as a theta body in all or in part to remote distances and have him observe or act or communicate and move back to his body again. This has many, many descriptive phrases, such as astral walking. No importance what you call it. The point is that you can actually hypnotize yourself, which is one theta body hypnotizing another theta body inside yourself, and send that other theta body off to some vast distance and observe something and have it come back, and so on. This is very common. Your hypnotist knows this manifestation very well. You take somebody, hypnotize them, send them down to where somebody else is having a dinner party. And you count the people at the table and get the order of seating and what is going on and what is being eaten. And then come back and wake up and get on the telephone and tell them. It's very upsetting to them. You can, by hypnotizing yourself, that is the usual mechanism by which this is done, send one of you over to somebody who is sleeping and say to that somebody, now you want to call me at 10:15 in the morning and say, I have a wonderful idea, and you will have a wonderful idea. Now be sure and tell me this. And you come back again. And 10:15 in the morning, the person either has an impulse to call you, or they will call you, or they won't. But the oddity is that it's at 10:15 that they call, and they do say to you, I have a wonderful idea. It all depends on how good you are at astral walking, how positive are your results. Now, you can astral walk some theta body clear across the United States, or clear across the world, and find out all sorts of things. And as a matter of fact, you can even dictate to it as to what it's supposed to do and get information from it while it is at this remote place. I am now talking to you about very, very elementary manifestations. These are quite well known. Self-hypnosis, as I say, is one line hypnotizing another line in you. When a person is hypnotized, what happens is the control center, which is uppermost, the control being, which is uppermost, is put into some sort of a sleep, and another being that isn't normally available is thereby exposed to view, and that other being is almost always neurotic or psychotic or very literal, and the second being can be told things. And then the person is awakened, which is to say the theta line which was put to sleep, which is normally in control, is awakened. And sitting back of that's another theta body. See? And it says, now you will do so and so and so and so, and you're not supposed to remember it, so forth. Just think of a lot of little kids playing a game, and this is about the manifestation, you get, you see? So that's a post-hypnotic suggestion. And that is also an engram in operation. A person is operated on. All theta bodies are asleep except one. This one observes everything there. Then you run the person through the operation. What you've done is wake up six bodies if you run them through it thoroughly. See how that would work? Now, awareness means awareness of what? What's awareness? There are a minimum of seven awarenesses. Which one of these awarenesses are you reducing when you give a person anesthetic? And how many of them are you sending away? How many of them are you holding on to? Now, get valence. There are two valences. There is a command valence, which shifts from one theta body to the other. It isn't the words that do it. It's the fact that the person is shifted on theta body because somebody told it to shift. Running back through incidents, you will find preclears out of valence. Well, that is to say, you're running a theta body, which wasn't the theta body to which this happened, but the theta body which observed it happening to the other theta body. Get the idea? It happened to theta body A, and as you let him through the incident, you're running theta body B through the incident, so theta body B goes through the incident, and where was it where the incident took place? Well, oddly enough, time and space have very little to do with this. And so, theta body B thought nothing of standing out in the middle of the room and watching it. Particularly if there was charge on it. Somebody comes along, hits the little kid in the jaw. Theta body B said, no, saw the blow coming and stepped out. Theta body A stood there and took it. Bow! You run the person back, they don't have any somatics, they tell you quite happily. I don't have any somatics. You know, I see myself. You say, well, this is some illusion, it's all delusion. Let's all be elusive and delusive. And let's grant no reality to anything, and that's the way we all stay insane. Boy, that's a philosophy. All those words that I just lettered have hyphens amongst them. When you run this pre-clear back through again, you're running the wrong theta body back through. Now, you tell the right theta body to go through the incident, and you'll get the somatics and so forth. But this right theta body may be so frightened by this time of existence and so on that it takes a lot of persuading. Now, how do you get a person to run through an incident in valence? Find the theta body that the thing happened to. The theta body in control. The theta body in which has the memory bank containing the incident and all of its somatics, if you want to run the incident. Find it, run the pre-clear through enough data until the incident unburdens on the theta line that the incident happened to. Now, you try to run childhood out of somebody, and they've shifted into five consecutive different theta bodies since. The fifth body over there didn't even know the person had ever been a child. It was just out. It had nothing to do with the childhood. It was just there. And it's going around saying, time didn't even run anywhere, time passing or something of the sort. And one day, had the entire load and control of the human body dumped on it. One day, suddenly found itself in control of everything. You know, dental operation. A couple of theta bodies got something in re-stimulation, and so got a toothache, and so the thing to do is to go down to the dentist and have the dentist anesthesia, pry, squeeze, yank, stamp, knee in the guts, you know, with lots of words. And the theta body, which is in operation up to that moment, says, this is too thick. Another life, and it's still happening. I quit. And so it does. It says, well, here I am asleep. And it stays asleep. Now this person teeters around after the operation and says, well, I feel different somehow. You try to put this person back through the operation and they're out of valence. Now, if you'll notice closely, they can call themselves the dentist as they go through the operation. They can go into the dentist for them. This is another manifestation of which theta lines are completely capable of stepping into other people. And they do. They just simply step into somebody else. If a theta body, a theta line, is very mixed up and can't get control of the person in any other way, it will step into person B and activate some theta line in person B so as to do something to person A. You get that. Here's a theta line. It's in person A, and person A is not under control of this theta line. This theta line is quite psycho and very possessive or something of the sort. This theta line will simply step right on along. This theta body will step around into another person, motivate them into getting angry at A. And then yap, 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 yap. Somebody will say, I wonder why I'm so angry at him. I was silly. But go right on saying, what's the idea, and so on. And person A all of a sudden says, somebody's angry at me. Why are they angry at me? And gets good and mad, and so you get a fight started. Because theta bodies are just people. They will start fights, and they will argue, but sometimes they go about it circuitously. You find a mention of this in the first book, by the way. Now, the manifestation then is that a theta body is not locatable in time and space except as it thinks it is. It believes it's here and therefore acts on nest here. Or believes it's there and therefore acts on nest there. Believes it's supposed to stay inside. And by the way, that's a big aberration to have to stay inside the body they're not supposed to leave. And so forth. Most of them have this aberration. And so stays inside. Or goes into another body and stays in there. A person can lose his theta line. The only one that seems to have any constancy at all is a very old, stable line, which is the center line. That's quite stable. And when deaborated, that line is very active. Original line. All right. Now, when you look at this manifestation, what is it possible to do with a theta body? And the answer is anything. When you look at human behavior, what's it possible? What's possible? You're going to have one insane person pervade a whole group. You're going to have all sorts of things taking place. But back in the bad old days of sorcery, somebody wanted to get rid of somebody else. She's not supposed to do that anymore either. That got awfully hard to track down by law and so forth. Here's a fellow 3,000 miles away from another fellow, and the other fellow dies. And so all of a sudden we found that we didn't believe in ghosts anymore. We didn't believe in spirits anymore. A lot of things happen in the society to prevent this. But it's very possible to take, say, a child here and take one of the fatal lines of the child, hypnotize the line, and send it someplace else and invest somebody else and have that child be that person. You take somebody in apathy walking down the street, if you are very able, fatalize, and you could get in and out of yourself at will, there's no trick at all of just suddenly stepping into that person, and making them think and do exactly what you wanted them to do. That's right. It's against the law that has been imposed on the aberration track, because it was found out, that all of these lines had to be kept in one place in space or time before you could punish anybody. And it was very necessary to punish people, so you nailed them down. What I'm talking to you about, you actually know natively that you can do. You feel a quiver on it. But it's against the law. And what's law? Compulsion. That's it, compulsion. You're supposed to stay inside, and you're supposed to be good, and you're not supposed to influence anybody else, and you're not supposed to send any fatal lines anywhere else and do anything to anybody else's body. Now, I'm not advocating that you do. I'm not advocating that you do at all. But I am telling you that these are possibilities and potentialities inherent in the theta line. You can go down to the library and you can pick up books about India, books about many things, and you'll find this and that happening. Think of what I told you in these lectures and add it up on this theta line. And you'll see all of a sudden, a lot of these things suddenly clarify. They all of a sudden will gel. People knew that you could take these lines and do things with them. And in the past, they did. They did with a thoroughness and abandon which is very wonderful to behold. They would transfer fatal lines, and they would influence lives, and they would cross things up in a most wonderful and remarkable fashion. I wonder if I mentioned the word building roads to you. Building roads in the sky. And just building roads and building roads and building roads. And building roads around sort of towers and building roads across vast pieces of space and building more roads just endlessly and endlessly. Any of you feel tired when I tell you about that? Well, once upon a time, some of the human race got caught and pushed into bodies and built roads. That's one of the Joyner incidents. You can run somebody back into this one, and they get pretty tired. Because it was a static. The person went on and on, life after life after life after life after life. You see, they knew that there was such a thing as life consecutiveness. They knew all about that. They could observe that. The fact that we don't know about it now is one of the control measures. And so they went on life after life after life after life, doing the same job in the same cycle in the same place, on and on and on, under very heavy control. And so you'll find that section of the track is quite aberrated. Now, how'd they do this? How could you possibly catch a theta body? It's air, sorry. It's worse than air. It's just nothing. How do you lay hold of it? Well, you can attract it by its feeling of ethics. You can attract it by its curiosity. Or any other way that you can influence a human being into doing something that you know very well is bad for him. You invite his interest. You give him a lot of ba-da-da-da-da. And remember, in those days, theta bodies were not invisible. Any more than they're invisible now. So, you're theta line. Theta body could be attracted to a body for some very noble purpose or something of the sort, and then the purpose would get ignoble suddenly. Something would happen, a switch would happen. When this would occur, somebody would be trapped because a theta body could be put to sleep. It could be put this way, it could be pressed that way. And some genius, somewhere along the line, picked up a wave that was very close to the wavelength of 1 over infinity. And it's so close to theta that it'll affect theta. It's the same wavelength as emotion. Emotion is one of those very, very short wavelengths. It'll affect a facsimile, or a theta body, or the meshed universe. So it makes a crossroads. If you had a wave, electronic wave, in that area or part of the band, all you would have to do would be to shut it out a theta body, and you would get some sort of a result resembling unconsciousness, or the theta body could not get away, or something of the sort. In other words, there's a part of the band, such as emotion, there's an electronic approximation of it possible, by which a theta body could be trapped. This is initially how it began to happen. And then how did you keep somebody there? How'd you keep them from getting away? Well, these are big problems. It took giant brains to figure out these things. One of the ways you could do it would be to take some of the physical body and get the theta body attached to it. Take a portion of it. Keep this portion in pawn, in hock. Put it in a little field so that it would live, you know, and put it in like Alexis Carroll and Lindbergh figured out. Keep the cells growing happily. And then if you did something wrong over there a couple of miles, just stick it. And you'd hurt over there a couple of miles away because you were told you would. You had to be educated into physical universe pain. Well, that sounds very wild. But it's a possibility. And all I'm telling you about are possibilities right now. Now there's the distinct possibility of doing this with a theta body. Here is a theta body, or several bodies, in a meshed body. Here's a meshed body, much like you or I, or maybe one-eyed. Here's this meshed body, and this meshed body's in perfectly good condition, and one day it walks along the road, and sees this sign, says volunteers or something like that. Big project, and walks inside the building to find out what is this big project. And there's the most gorgeous, glowing block of stone, which is hanging in midair, much like Muhammad had, and except it emanates. He's gone. You walk in, bing. That's it. Then somebody, and this is theoretically, of course, somebody could take you and put you over in a building, you know, and they could shoot you full of narcosynthesis and say, now, you'd better, for your own good and because you have this big mission to accomplish, go to such and such a place and take the body, which you see there, and work with it to accomplish so-and-so. And when that body dies, you will return here. And we will take very, very good care of this body here all the time you were gone. And you needn't worry about this body because we'll take good care of it. And you go down there and you do so-and-so and such and all will be well. Well, all right, this individual theoretically could leave then. Theta body leaves, goes down here, leaves a little bit of theta there, you know, keeps the body taken over, and comes down here to this area, and takes over this other body. Of course, this other body always seems sort of unreal. There's already a soul in it. But it seems sort of unreal, somehow, and it, but he works with it. And he doesn't quite know what he's doing. He goes on. He's supposed to keep the body from pain. He's supposed to do good. He's supposed to do that. And he's got a big goal and so on. And all of a sudden, one day, gets himself killed. Ha! He's supposed to report back. No. So he reports back. He walks in. He gets into the body. The body wiggles a little bit. And the guards come along and they say, ha! There's another one. I pick them up, take them in. Now, what did you do? What's it like? Give us a report. Now, all right. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. Very interesting. Are you sure that's what you did? Yes, yes. Go on. Are you sure you know what you're doing? Mm-hmm. You sure you were there?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that was good? Well, why did you do it? Now, we're all going to write it down here in a big book, and I think you'd better go back again. See if you can't do better this next time. Well, forget it. Bang. Person forgets it. Then they say, take them all in the next room and shoot them. Pull the stop again, and they say, now, yabbity, 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 yap, and here's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go down there and get the next body you can come across down there, and it's all fixed up, and you're all in good shape, and this time, your goal is to organize a church. Yeah, you're supposed to organize a church in this life, so, goodbye. The person would appear, down here's a baby. The lion already has a soul in, would appear down here all of a sudden as a baby, and go along and try to organize this church and try to organize this church. Now, the funny part of it is that he could be a composite mass of bodies, that is, theta bodies, which was just amounts to one personality, and they could all be shunted simultaneously. So there he goes. And he organizes a church, and he organizes a church, and he organizes a church. Only he doesn't organize a church very well, and one day he gets killed. So he's loose. He's outside of the body again. This is strange. He thought he belonged in that body. The second he gets out of it, he realizes he doesn't belong in that body. But he's very foggy. When he gets out of it, he's awful foggy. So he goes back again, and this body twitches, and one of the guards says, well, come along with me. Take him down. Write down the big book. What'd you do? Why? Oh, you didn't do that. Yeah, well, are you sure that was right? Are you sure that was what you were told? Confused. Well, forget it. You'll have to go down again. But you told me I wouldn't have to go down again. Well, forget it. So and so. Yeah. Your goal this time is to go down and be very good in the hay business. Well, the fellow goes very dopey about this whole thing. He goes down and sure, this is all he's supposed to know. He's supposed to be in a body. He's supposed to go through this routine and goes to the other end of the line. And how long could he go on? Well, it could go on until such a body fell apart. That's the truth. Because you could keep a body, even with methods of food preservation we have here on Earth, mechanisms which we have right here on Earth at this time, you could probably keep a body ticking over for hundreds of years. Theoretically, you could keep one ticking over for thousands of years. Then one day he goes back and he's got no body. So he kind of shuffles down the hall. That's where he's supposed to go, and he shuffles down the hall and nobody sees him. He stands around for a while and he says, well, I guess this is time I go back there again. And keeps going through the cycle endlessly, over and over. But now with no implanted goals, and so he gets pretty aimless. He'd sure be puzzled, wouldn't he? You could do such a trick if you wanted to control a planet, if you wanted to control a people, or if you wanted to get something done for your own purposes, and if you were very good at electronics and that sort of thing, just a hair better than we are now, you could do this. You actively could accomplish this by shifting theta bodies around with astral projection.